RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're right back to WEEI.
Oh, it means everything. I think this has been my favorite season so far. Being able to get an opportunity to lead a group of guys who, you know, some of us, we have some championship experience, but we have five or six new guys who haven't really played NBA basketball. And now we look like one of the better teams in the league. And that's just credit to our coaching staff and credit to our leadership that we've been able to get those guys comfortable. And we're playing some good basketball right now, so it means everything.
All right, that was Jaylen Brown. His comments earlier this week that created a bit of a stir, saying that this has been his favorite season.
Jaylen, do you remember that time that you were the finals MVP and won the championship?
Well, and do you remember all those great times with Jason Tatum? You know,
do you remember that guy?
Running mate. So what did you guys think of that? Like, did it strike you as odd? Did you think there's some sort of shot at Tatum there?
And so, like, I've gone back and forth on it. I ultimately am landing on no. I think he's sort of being prisoner of the moment guy on top of trying to just be the best leader possible for the team. I think Jaylen has always really embraced being the leader, even when Tatum was inarguably the best player. Tatum's more of a lead by example guy. Jaylen does that too, but he also likes to, you know, be the vocal guy in that room. So that's where I landed, but I can totally understand why people would make that sort of pivot there and be like, whoa, what's he trying to say about Tatum? Because, you know, there has been this tug and pull, and these guys have talked about how it took them time to figure out who was going to be 1A, who was going to be 1B, how to sort of navigate that. I remember Mike Gorman years ago was like, they got to trade one of these two guys to actually like have a chance. Like, there's been maybe not friction, but it's been a relationship in progress through these years. So I totally get why people went there when he said it. But ultimately, I think it's just Brown trying to say what needs to be said for this group right now to keep the ball rolling.
See, I think it's just related to the perspective of this season compared to other seasons of his career. And what I mean by that is, we bring up like the championship season. Obviously, they won it all. You would think that that's his favorite season, but just think about the expectations for that season compared to this season.
Yeah, they were wire to wire the best team in the NBA.
But also the stress level that comes with that, and especially where those two guys were at in their career at that point is, oh my God, these guys are so talented, but they can't get the job done. And especially when you can't do it in this market, it's going to wear on you until you actually finally get it done. I think that's why winning a championship here is so special, because the expectations are so high, and especially with this organization. Whereas like this season, nobody expected them to do anything. And then they are now in this spot where everybody like us is saying, oh, actually, they might be a championship contender. And oh yeah, who's the best player on the court right now? It's Jaylen Brown. And how about these young guys who nobody expected anything out of? They're actually becoming impact players. Like, I think when any of us do something where we are completely overachieving or doing better than we could have ever expected when there were low expectations to start with, we end up...
That's how I feel about hosting.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you talking about right now?
Low expectations. Like, all I can do is exceed expectations.
Well, think about how joyous you feel right now doing it, right? But that's, like, my point. I just think that, this year, the stress level for what this team was supposed to accomplish, or relative to what they were supposed to accomplish, isn't that high compared to all these years prior when they were the talented guys who just can't get it done. And to me, that's where I interpreted those comments. It's like, this is sort of a stress-free season, but it's also a chance for Jaylen Brown once again to kind of prove to everybody, hey guys, I'm really freaking good. I might not be quite as good as Jason Tatum, but I have the capability of being a top 10 player in the NBA, which to me, unequivocally, right now, he is playing like
no
that.
Doubt about it.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. Like, it is fun for athletes to defy expectations and prove people wrong and play when there's no outside pressure, mm-hmm. which is what the Celtics season is. And so for Jaylen Brown to say this is more fun than when it's all the pressure in the world on them and everyone is like, well, it's championship or bust, like, that is the ultimate pressure. And listen, you want to be in those situations, right? Like, that's better than just playing on a losing team. But that does create stress. Like, these are human beings, you know? Like, they still get stressed. Like, you give any of us in life, like, a deadline or a goal we have to hit, and it's like, yeah, there's stress that comes along with that. Like, if you're like, man, like, this is going to come down to the wire whether or not we're going to get there. Whereas if you set it low and we realize 3 months in we're blown past it, like, that's a great feeling.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, that's what they're doing, and that's what Jaylen Brown is doing. Like, again, it's also fun to have a career year mm-hmm. and score more points per game than you ever have in your NBA career. You know, he's sixth in the NBA in scoring. Like, this is an air that, you know, he's come close to. He's been a Finals MVP, an Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I'm not saying Jaylen Brown, like, hasn't had this spotlight before, but he hasn't had it for a
by
full
himself.
Season by himself
yeah.
like this.
That's the point. And, you know, not to put a damper on everything you guys just said, but part of me hopes that the success he's having right now doesn't lead to him being like, maybe I should try and go find a team where I can do this by myself all the time. I'm really hoping that when Tatum comes back at some point later in the season, that yes, his production might dip slightly, but I would hope, and I think he will recognize that, yeah, maybe I'll go from scoring 30 a game to 25 a game, but it's still way better to be doing that next to a guy that can also put up 30 a game, because winning championships matters way more than having a Carmelo Anthony type of career. So that's sort of my one little, like, of course I'm happy that the Celtics are playing well and that Brown is having this type of season. I just hope that classic NBA mentality of, like, let me go get my own team type of thing doesn't creep in for Jaylen Brown, because he has been playing so fantastic. And part of me can't blame the guy for wanting to be, like, lead banana somewhere else.
Well, and I think what helps is that Jason Tatum, his game is kind of, it can be that facilitator type of role. Mm-hmm. I mean, what led to Jaylen Brown in part winning the NBA Finals MVP award is, one, Jason Tatum, from a shooting standpoint, maybe not as good as he could be. But on top of that, you remember, like, the early parts of that series, they forced Tatum to be the facilitator type guy, which he ended up doing a pretty good
and
job.
And I personally would have given Tatum the Finals MVP. Well, I think Brown rightfully deserved it in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think Tatum played a better overall game than Brown in those five games.
I actually agree. Like, it was close, and even I think when, like, the voting split came out after, like, it was pretty split.
Yeah.
I agree. I would have gone Tatum, but, like, you know, it was close. And also, on the Tatum point, I don't really mean this as a criticism of him, but, like, you feel like he'd be okay. Like, he doesn't need to be the guy always putting up the most points, getting a ton of shots. Like, obviously he wants that, and he's good enough to do it. And I think Jason Tatum is motivated by being one of the best. Like, I think he wants to be. But he's not selfish. And in this kind of dynamic, that's important. 508 says, texter says, JT was anointed as the chosen one. JB was always a side note. He yearned for a chance to show he has the stuff to lead and play a faster, more physical game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. I definitely think that's fair.
This is the first time that Jaylen Brown has been on a team since his rookie year that didn't have like legitimate finals expectations, or at least conference final expectations. So to have that in conjunction with being one of the top 7-8 scorers in the NBA this season, can totally understand why this guy is having more fun than he's ever had, quote unquote.
Again, you can join in, call or text 617-779-7937. Let's go to Chris in Holyoke on the Celtics. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
thanks,
no Chris.
JB is great. I've always thought of him as a top-tier player. But watching him this year, like you said just now about JB, JT has never played on a team without a player like JB. Imagine what he would look like on this team without JB. Is he scoring 40?
I think he'd have to. I mean, that's why Jaylen Brown's scoring as much, is that you have to somehow replace the whole right. production you don't have with Jason Tatum. And we've, like, that is never a concern to me, because we have seen Jason Tatum, especially as early as really that third year in the NBA, when he was with the Celtics, where he took that next leap. Year two was sort of a step back for him, and then year three, there was a stretch in the season in which he really took that jump forward and became one of the best players in the NBA. Like, with Jason Tatum without Jaylen Brown, I think he would do fine. We'd see that kind of next level jump in production and scoring, where who knows, maybe he would lead the league in scoring, because I think he's got that capability.
Absolutely.
You know what's interesting about the way Jaylen Brown is scoring is so much gets made of the Celtics just want to launch threes, launch threes, launch threes. You know who's taking the most two-point field goal attempts in the NBA this season? Jaylen Brown.
I love it.
And it's funny because early in the year, when the Celtics were middling to bad to start the year, there was a practice presser where Jaylen talked about wanting to take more twos. And he followed his own advice. And there was, we try to make something out of nothing all the time in media. I saw some blog posts being like, oh, is there friction between Brown and Mazzulla? And it's like, I don't think so. I think that those guys are so simpatico, and I feel like they have such a similar mentality. And Mazzulla is never going to get in the way of Jaylen Brown doing what he needs to do to put the ball in the basket. Like, I think the pieces around Brown, he wants to operate a certain way, but Mazzulla is smart enough to be like, my two best players, like, play within the rhythm of the game and score the way you feel like you need to score. And like, Jaylen Brown has done that.
I love that he's sort of a relic of the past in that sense, too. Like, I understand why the Celtics shoot as many threes. I think they should shoot a lot of threes, but it is nice when you do see a guy like Jaylen Brown kind of do what he does. It's still so much fun to watch, and I think it's an art form that he is. I don't know if he's the best, but he's among the best that can do it in the NBA.
Yeah, we got a text from 352 that says, Jaylen Brown is doing it old school, 80s, 90s style.
I love it.
Grinding out 30 a game with twos.
Yeah, and he's like, his finish ability around the rim is really special to watch. Like, it's not like quite prime Kyrie level, but it's pretty close. Like, his ability to do some things in the paint there as not a big man is really, really cool.
Let's go to Ron in the car on the Celtics. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. The idea that Jaylen Brown would turn into a selfish guy at this point, after many, many years of proving he's willing to subvert his game for the betterment of the team, is ridiculous. It's just a speculation or a worry that's really completely out of bounds. I mean, he's not James Harden. He's a winning player. He's not going to chuck it up before. And that I don't think that's his goal, to throw the ball, take as many shots as humanly possible until the stat sheet. He's got his max deal. He's got his big contract. And he's going to do exactly what it takes to win. He's demonstrated it over and over and over again.
So, Ron, I completely agree with you that it is not outlandish, so to speak, but it would be out of character for Brown to turn into that or start to think that way. With that said, it was just worth bringing up because he's never been in this role like this before. And you look at the rest of the NBA and guys of that caliber all running into these types of situations where it's one guy and it's another guy on a team. And then one guy starts to take off and the other guy's like, well, wait, where's my team? Where are my shots? Like, it happens, right? So yes, JB has been willing to subvert and be sort of the second guy and be unselfish, but now he's getting a taste of being the lead guy. So it's just worth putting a pin in and thinking about for when Tatum is back. But I'm with you. Like, it would be out of character for JB to do that, no doubt.
Yeah, and I will say on that topic, so I haven't heard this, but I heard Terp and Mago this morning talking about Terp was saying that Jaylen Brown was on, I think it was on his Twitch stream, and he was talking about a conversation he had with Tracy McGrady, saying, you know, when Jaylen Brown was, there are trade rumors, and he was maybe thinking about, hey, do I go somewhere else? Tracy McGrady, who obviously went through that as a star player and tried to win elsewhere, told him, like, don't. Stay where you are. Like, win championships there. And I do think that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both players who are not going to be satisfied with one title. Like, I think those guys want to win again.
Especially
again.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like, they'll make it work. Like, I think they both recognize, like, their best chance at winning another championship is doing it with each other.
Well, and to that point, too, this organization doesn't allow these star players to really want to look elsewhere, right? Because you look at, like, okay, look at, like, the Pacers, who they played yesterday. They lose their star player. He's out for the season, and they're having a terrible season. Yeah. Whereas this team, with all these young guys that they're having to rely upon, the term that Jaylen Brown actually used, Celtic University, you know, like, they're at Celtic University, or they're winning because they teach the right things, and there's this winning culture that's been instilled with them. So, yeah, I think Tracy McGrady is a perfect example to think about. Never got past the first round as
Wild.
Good as he was as a star player, because you look at his teammates and all these other places he went to, he never really had, like, a great running mate to go with. It was a broken-down Yao Ming was the best guy that he ever played with. Why would you want to go anywhere else?
That's so disrespectful to broken-down Grant Hill. How dare you?
I know. And they could have been Tim. Remember, they almost had Tim Duncan, too, in the mix,
that's a
too.
Wild what-if. Yeah. If Tim Duncan leaves San Antonio to go to Orlando, that is weird.
Yeah. Or if he never left Toronto, too. Vince Carter.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy what-if, T-Mac. Because I think Kobe talked about it. Like, best guy he ever played one-on-one against was T-Mac. He's like the only guy that could ever get him one-on-one.
He was so good. Yeah. He was so much fun to watch. All right. We do have to catch a break here. Again, you can call in 617-779-7937. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Tom Carroll and Joe Weil. And David Azar has your trending.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
You know, it seemed maybe a little bit mental fatigue these last couple games. Just, you know, a lot of mental mistakes and that cost us a game. So, you know, hopefully everybody can spend a couple of days with the family and come here recharged, and because it's not going to get any easier, you know, in the second half of the year. So,
you know, we covered first concerts earlier. The first CD I ever bought was Third Eye Blind self-titled.
Oh, hell yeah.
So David just keeps nailing it with the rejoins.
I've sucking actually, up. And it's another band that we've played that I've seen in concert. It was a little sad, though. I think it was 2009 I saw them play, and this is well past the time of these hits, like this and Jumper and Semi-Charmed Life and all that stuff. And so they were trying to play their new stuff, and everyone was just not having it. Just
like, at a certain point, man, you got to just know.
I never saw them live until a couple years ago. I saw them and Jimmy Eat World up in Portland, Maine.
Oh, wow.
So really got like the 90s, early 2000s nostalgia going. And that they did treat more like a greatest hits show, so it was kind of exactly
you
what
gotta,
I wanted.
You got to, man. Yeah. Like, when you're at a certain point in your career, like, just play the hits, right?
I just don't think they were ready for that yet. And
no,
and maybe that was the moment that they realized.
09 is maybe a little too early to realize, like, hey, you're in the greatest hits era.
Let's just play the hits. People love those.
My first CD ever, I wasn't a purchase of my own, but I remember getting it for Christmas. Smash Mouth.
Oh,
Astro Lounge.
That's a legendary
yep.
CD.
Yep.
So good.
Still rock it to this day.
That was one of those where it's like you get that as a kid, and then your parents are like, wait, what's on this? Like, I know the hits, but hold on. What's this other stuff?
All right. Okay. Well, I guess we're learning some things.
Yeah. All right. Guys, I want to get into the Bruins a little bit. I got it. All right.
Yeah, we'll talk some puck.
Yeah. This is the team I cover the most. You know, we got the Skate Podcast here, WEI. So I'll start with just a little news of the day, because the Bruins, the entire NHL, had this 3-day Christmas break. League mandated, PA mandated, so there's no team activities, not just no games, no practice, no meetings, no flying, nothing.
It's extremely Canadian of them to have that, by the way.
Yeah, and as media, by the way, I love it. Thank you very much,
it's
NHL
a little breather, right?
And NHLPA. We're the one league that never has to worry about a Christmas game. But so the Bruins are in Buffalo tonight. The NHL starts back up today. So the Bruins have to fly out morning of the game because, by rule, they couldn't fly yesterday. They entered the break on a 4-game losing streak, lost 5 out of 6. You heard Pastrnak's comments coming out of the break there about mental fatigue and, you know, just a team that's not in a great spot at the moment. Well, just to kind of pile on top of that, just in case it wasn't already enough, their flight to Buffalo got delayed.
Oh, no.
This morning, so they arrived late. They didn't get a morning skate in. I think I saw Kevin Paul Dupont of the Globe reported they did a little bit of a team activity. Like, they got together at the rink. You know, so maybe get like a lift in, a bike ride or something. But they weren't on the ice, so no morning skate. So when they hit the ice for warm-ups, that's the first time they'll be on the ice in, you know, 4 days. So there's some challenges there. Tanner Janot out of the lineup, so he's banged up. Jonas Korpisalo starting in net. This is kind of a classic game you throw at your backup goalie because of everything I just laid out. You're coming off a layoff. You get a fly morning of. Starter doesn't want to deal with all that, so you throw your backup in there. But that does lead into like a sneaky, important discussion because Korpisalo really struggled his last time out last Sunday against Ottawa. Jeremy Swayman desperately needed a night off. He had started four straight going into that Sunday night game. They give the net to Korpisalo. He can't even get through the game. Gives up 5 goals and 17 shots. They pull him with like 34 minutes left in the game. So now Swayman is back in net for a fifth straight game. And then Tuesday against Montreal, it's a sixth straight. And Swayman has started to struggle a bit. His numbers have gone down. The whole team obviously has struggled here, really limped into Christmas break. So they need to get it. That mental fatigue, if there's some physical fatigue, whatever it might be, that had to have gotten out of their system these last 3 days over this break. And they are now on a 5-game road trip starting in Buffalo. Then they head out to Western Canada and wraps up in Seattle. This needs to be a good road trip for them. Like, I think 3 wins minimum, but like you'd love to see 4. Something that tells you that this team can bounce back from that 4-game losing streak and start to get themselves back on track and still make a season of this, because if this road trip goes poorly for them, boy, we're having some really uncomfortable conversations about where the season's going, because it may be falling off very quickly.
Yeah, so outside of the struggles they had recently and then a few of those early losing streaks, it's been, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, it's been a relatively surprising year for the Bruins for them to even be in the mix in this capacity. I think everyone kind of saw this as being a bridge year. So given where they're at the moment, and I know that we're on the precipice of them, you know, going one way or another here on this road trip, like, where do you sort of go season-wise, in your opinion, Scott, with possibly improving this roster at the deadline, or how do you see them approaching sort of the rest of the season here? Like, do they feel like they're at a spot where they can make one tweak and actually go on a couple round playoff run here? Or is it like the beginning of the season has, to use Cam Newton's words, been fool's gold, and they should continue to sort of focus on rebuilding the foundation here moving forward?
So I've been pretty adamant that this should not be a buy now season for them. I don't think they're in position for that. I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're a move or two away from going on a Stanley Cup run. So no short-term buying. I would say like that should be kind of a cardinal rule for this team. Like, don't go trading. You've just, with last season sell-off, started to replenish your prospect pool and get first-round picks instead of trading them away like they had for 10 years. Don't start going against that 1 year in, because there's been some good vibes around the team this year. So I would say that should be off the table. Buying for rentals does not make any sense for this team. Now, if there are opportunities out there to add a player with term or someone who's going to be part of this team, you know, for 4 or 5 years going forward, I'm open to that. You do have some assets that could be in play, these first and second round picks. You have more prospects now. I'm open to it, depending on the deal. The other interesting part of it, though, is, you know, they have pieces on their team that they could sell off if they're not looking like a playoff team. You know, Victor Arvidsson is a pending free agent who has battled injuries, and that's kind of been a story of his career, unfortunately, but has been pretty good in a middle six role for this team when he's been healthy. Andrew Peak, I think, has been up and down this year, but another pending free agent. Teams are always looking for right shot defensemen. You look at how much the Bruins got last year for Brandon Carlo from Toronto. It got them a top prospect in Fraser Minton, a first round pick
and a second or a third round pick. Like,
three, it was a hell of a return pieces. For Brandon frickin' Carlo.
Yeah, and I don't think Peek's going to get you that much, but like, he might get you one of those pieces. Like, I don't think he gets you a first round pick, but that's not insane. So I do think this Bruins team, Don Sweeney also has to be open to listening on his own guys. Like, even if you're hovering around that bubble, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to hang on to guys who aren't going to be part of your future. So I do think they have to be open to moving those guys as well.
So one question I had for you, Scott, is so you go back a little over 2 weeks ago. So on December 11th, this team was in second place in the Atlantic Division, and they had won 5 of 6 at that point. And now they've lost 4 in a row and then 5 out of 6 here. Like, do you see it as realistic for them to get back to that point where they were like 16 days ago?
They could, because the Eastern Conference is so crowded and compact and honestly, like, kind of mid to like use that slang. Like, there's a couple teams that I think are, Carolina's going to be a playoff team. Now, they're in a different division, so you don't have to really worry about them at the moment. Washington should be a playoff team, although they've started to slip recently. In your division, Tampa should be a playoff team, but they've slipped with Victor Hedman. Again, like, everyone, these key injuries just start striking every team, and it's like Tampa's without Victor Hedman now until possibly February, and they've started to slide. So, like, now they went from, oh, they look like they're about to take off and run away with the division, to now they're right back in the middle of the pack. The Panthers have just been hovering around. You know, they haven't had Matthew Tkachuk. They lost Alexander Barkov for the year. They're very banged up. Brad Marchand has been awesome for them, but they're sort of just like hanging right in the middle of it. Right now they're the 8th seed in the East. I think the Panthers are going to be a playoff team. So I think that's a team at some point that's going to establish themselves as being on a little steadier footing. The Bruins are right there with like everyone else, though. I mean, Detroit, Montreal, Philly, the Islanders, Rangers, Senators, Joe, your New Jersey Devils, like, you know, who are just getting Jack Hughes back now. Like, I don't know that any of these teams are going to run away and just secure playoff spots. So, like, that is a lot of playoff spots that are just up for grabs and probably will be the most of this regular season. So can the Bruins hang around that conversation? Absolutely.
I think there's a call here on the board, Scott, yeah, that I'm interested in hearing what he has to say here. Tom in Boston on the Bruins here. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Scott, have you heard this Chris Johnson rumor that the Bruins are in on, what's his name, Kiefer Sherwood yeah, out of Vancouver?
Yeah, I have.
That's a very stupid idea, right? Like, do the Bruins, I know they've got so few, like, third-line grinder guys who are over 30. How could they possibly not pass up on a guy like that? Like, why are they even entertaining this? They should be trying to get a lottery pick. They should not be, I don't know, very frustrated by this team. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, so Kiefer Sherwood. So this is a name that has popped up as a player who might be available. The Vancouver Canucks have already started selling. They traded Quinn Hughes, one of the two best defensemen in the world, traded him to the Minnesota Wild. Actually went on like a little bit of a run, including beating you, the Bruins. But not a team that's expected to do much this season. So Kiefer Sherwood, 30 years old, right wing, middle six player, you know, really, really a third liner, really solid third liner, very physical, has scored 16 goals this season, but that came with a really hot start. And then he started to cool down and which everyone kind of knew he would, because he just, at one point he was like top 5 to 10 in the league in goals, and I think everyone knew he wasn't going to stay there. Listen, I like Kiefer Sherwood as a player. I love the way he plays. He does a little bit of everything. He has, I think he has more offense than all those grinders that I'm sure Tom was going to go through, that like your Tanner Janos and Mark Kastelix and Mikey Acemontz and Sean Corrales. Like, he has more offense than that, so he would make the Bruins better, but he's a 30-year-old pending unrestricted free agent. This is the kind of guy that, to me, does not make sense unless you have an extension in place. If you have an extension in place, okay, we can talk. But otherwise, I don't know why you would trade for a 30-year-old pending unrestricted free agent.
Well, and this kind of goes along the lines of the conversation around the Bruins that I know is kind of central to what we want to discuss overall about this team is the retool rather than the rebuild. I mean, you know, just looking at where their record is and then also the fact that they've given up the fifth most goals in the NHL. We know that penalties have been an issue. I mean, 30 power play goals allowed this year is pretty remarkable. Not to mention that they've been on the penalty kill 144 times, which is 19 more than any other team.
That's wild.
Like, and Scott, you know this better than anybody. Like, they rely so much on the goaltenders to kind of step up and make plays. Like, it seems to me that long term, at least for this season, it doesn't seem sustainable. Like that, like I look at the macro level picture of this group, this doesn't seem like a sustainable formula to even maybe get in the playoffs, which they're not in right now.
Yeah, we can get into more on that. Like there's definitely some numbers that back that up, so it's a good thought. We do have to catch a break here, but I will definitely wrap up on the Bruins on the other side.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Welcome back. Scott McLaughlin here with Tom Carroll and Joe Weil. So, Joe, we were talking just before break, we're getting into, is this even sustainable for the Bruins? And there are certain things that have to happen for it to be sustainable. So just before we dive into this, worth noting, like, just where the Bruins are in the standings. So technically, if you just look at points, they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Not bad. Points percentage, they are down in 13th in the Eastern Conference. So 5 spots out of a playoff spot. Now, again, this whole group is so crowded that like this stuff changes night to night. A two-game winning streak or losing streak starts to swing it. So they haven't played themselves out of it yet. But the concerning stuff, so here's where I'm going to go. Hockey nerd, so that texter that wanted to shove those stats, you know, get ready. So
we just got, that was only the appetizer.
Yeah. So
for nerd stats
you thought
today.
Baseball stats were nerdy. Welcome to hockey stats, my friend.
Okay, so expected goals. So basically what this is what it sounds like. It's how many goals you'd be expected to score or give up based on the quantity and quality of shots and chances that you're allowing. Right? So pretty self-explanatory. If you give up a lot of shots and a lot of high danger shots, your expected goals against are going to be high. And similarly, if you take a lot of shots and take a lot of quality shots, your expected goals for go up. So the Bruins this season at 5-on-5 are dead last in the NHL in expected goals against.
That's crazy.
Wow. 2.97 per 60 minutes. Expected goals percentage. So, you know, expected goals for minus expected goals against. They are 30th out of 32 teams. That does not scream sustainable. Now, they have outperformed that because, for the most part, until this most recent stretch, they've gotten very good goaltending from Jeremy Swayman. I know every time they lose, people like to rip Swayman because, hey, he's the goalie, he's the easy target. But for 2 months, he was playing like one of the three best goalies in the world. That happened. It was undeniable. Even still, he is, even with this recent skid, he's fifth in the NHL in goals saved above expected. So, again, this is like the individual goalie version of that expected goal stat. Like, he would be expected to give up, you know, an average goalie would be expected to give up significantly more goals than Jeremy Swayman has this season. So, that was covering up a lot of mistakes that the defense was making, that the penalty kill was making, because the penalty kill is the other part of this that has slipped that just can't slip for this team. Like, I would say the three things that have to be there for them is goaltending, power play, penalty kill. The power play has remained pretty consistent. It's sixth in the NHL. That's very good. Last year was bad. So that's fine. They continue to score on the power. They've given up a few too many shorthanded goals, you know, so you can put that to the side. But the power play has been very good. The penalty kill had also been very good for most of the season. It has now slipped to 19th in the NHL. That's not good enough, especially not with how many penalties this team takes. And those go hand in hand, right? Like chicken or the egg. Has the penalty kill started to slip because they're just taxing it so much? Or, you know,
that feels like it on its surface level.
Yes. It's a huge part of it. Now, and they've also, they're giving teams 5-on-3s. They've spent more time killing 5-on-3s than any team in the NHL. And
that's
those
a lot
are
to
killer.
Ask.
Like, if you survive a 5-on-3, you feel like it's a miracle.
Yeah.
The Montreal game, they did not. They've given some up recently. So, yeah, those things, like, they have to find a way to stay out of the box. You can get mad at the refs if you want. You can say some of it's reputation calls. It doesn't matter. So many of them are self-inflicted. You know, the other night, that Montreal game, it's like, that crowd is jacked. That is an incredible environment. Tanner Janot drops the gloves right off the opening faceoff.
Yeah,
places go crazy.
When it happens that quickly,
I'm all in.
Yeah. There are a few things in sports early in a game or match or whatever sport it is, I think, that get the juices going quite like that.
It's like a kickoff return to start a football game or like a fight when the puck drops.
Yep.
That's basically it.
It was awesome. And then 26 seconds later, Hampus Lindholm took an unnecessary holding penalty.
And not again, as awesome.
It's just like just the timing of some of this stuff. Later in the game, Hampus Lindholm takes a tripping call that gives him a 5-on-3. And it's like, just like the feel for the game and when they're taking some of these penalties and when they're getting sticks in. And like, you know, the Edmonton game a couple weeks ago, Mark Kaslik trips Trent Frederick coming through the neutral zone. It's like, Trent Frederick, I don't know if people have been paying attention. He has like 3 points this year for Edmonton. He's done nothing. He's not a threat. Why are you sticking your stick in his skates coming through the neutral zone?
Yeah.
So like this stuff, just the mental lapses of when they're taking some of these penalties has not been fixed and remains a huge issue. And yeah, then you just continuously tax your penalty kill game after game after game. These guys are standing in front of shots. Your goalie's under stress. David Pastrnak and Morgan Geekie are stapled to the bench because they don't kill penalties, so they're just waiting for a chance to get back to 5-on-5.
So you brought up the penalties, obviously, being an issue here. And I think back to one of the Bruins games I was covering earlier this month where the conversation post-game was around Zadorov kind of taking some dumb penalties and whether or not Sturm wanted Zadorov to be smarter or like, hey, like let him do his thing. Sometimes he's going to take a couple dumb penalties and that's just a part of his game that kind of gets his juices flowing. Where do you stand on that? Because obviously he's been the Bruins' best defenseman this season, but when you have a guy playing at that high level, making dumb mistakes that are seemingly, you know, avoidable, how do you balance that? Like, are you okay with him kind of taking dumb penalties from time to time to keep the quote juices flowing, or does he need to be smarter moving forward?
He needs to be smarter, but I've mostly been okay with Nikita Zadorov's decision-making this season. It's been better than last year, and there have not been as many reach-in penalties from him. The ones you're referring to are him, I'll call it like sending a message to the opponent. It's been kind of
goonish behavior.
Yeah, like kind of like going over the top to rough someone up or to retaliate, which, yes, in a vacuum is not smart because it unnecessarily puts you on the kill. And we just talked about avoiding that. I'm more okay with that where it's like, all right, at least you're planting a thought in someone's head of like, don't mess with us. I still have as much bigger issues with the guys taking the tripping and the hookings and the slashes, the stick work that is a lot of times just a product of not moving your feet and not playing the body and trying to win a battle with your stick, which becomes easy to call. So you would have more allowance for what Zadorov does where it's like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have done that, but hey, you know what? That guy might think twice before he takes a run at David Pastrnak, which happened in, I think that was the Winnipeg game recently. You would have more allowance for that if you weren't also taking all those other penalties. It's like, right now, collectively, it's just all adding up. If you cut down on the foolish stick stuff, then Zadorov can maybe do a little bit more message sending.
All right, I know we're going to have to hit a break in a moment, but I'm going to try to dive into the pessimistic Bruins fan with the mind of a pessimistic Bruins fan with the hopes of getting an optimistic answer. So We're looking at this whole situation. You hit on the expected numbers and how that the Bruins are, they lead the NHL in all situation or expected all situation goals, this advanced stat in the NHL. And then the reality is on top of that, they've given up the fifth most goals in the NHL. They've given up the most power play goals. They have the most penalties. And I think you can even look at the season that Geeky's having, obviously. Nobody could have expected that either. So you have these blinking lights telling you, okay, the record probably should be worse than it is. And now this team is in a pretty bad skid. So, again, being that pessimistic Bruins fan, what is the light at the end of the tunnel right here for this team that they can get themselves out of it and get themselves back into the playoff picture officially?
Well, I think if you manage Swayman's workload better, you can get him back to playing at an elite level. Like, he was the best goal in the NHL in November. He has not been in December. He can get back to that. Oh, they gave him an extension when he hadn't proven anything. I'm like, well, he's proven he can be a really good NHL goalie. Like, he's had multiple good seasons. He had a great postseason 2 years ago. So you can get Swayman back to that level. I also think you can get David Pastrnak going. Like, there's still Morgan Geekie's been awesome. He's second in the NHL in goals. There's still another level for Pastrnak to get to. I think when he came back from injury, I don't think he's been 100%. And maybe he won't get there, but I do think he hasn't scored a 5-on-5 goal in a month.
That's crazy.
Which is insane. Like, I think he's only scored 3 in that time. 2 of them were power play. One was an empty netter. Now, he missed time with injury in the middle. Like, he missed 5 games. Yeah.
It's still surprising, but just given his production level.
Right. It's just amazing to see, like, wow, a full calendar month without Pastrnak scoring at 5-on-5. So it was really right around this time last year that Pastrnak just took off along with Morgan Geekie. and Pastrnak was one of the best players in the NHL from even through a bad situation from there to the finish line. That could still happen. And then if Pastrnak's playing like one of the five best players in the world, which he's capable of doing, all of a sudden you start to feel a little better. Swayman gets back to that level, you start to feel a little bit better. So those within this season, those would be the things to cling to. And then bigger picture, you have some pretty good prospects coming. And by the way, they're playing right now in the World Junior Championship. If anyone wants to check them out, James Hagans is the first-line center for the U.S., your seventh overall pick. He's having a good season over at BC. I think there's probably still a little bit more there, but like he's been good. Will Zellers, who you got in the Charlie Coyle trade, U.S.'s first game at World Juniors last night, 2 goals and an assist. He was the U.S.'s best player on a team full of guys who are going to be good NHLers. Now, that's Germany. That's not a huge test just yet. So let's see how the rest of the tournament goes. But, like, that's really encouraging to see. So there's stuff to get excited. Fraser Minton's development, like, he's emerging as a real NHLer. So bigger picture, I think there's some stuff to start to get excited about. Within this season, you're gonna have to rely on your top guys and have them take over. Okay, we do have to hit a break. Running a little behind here. But Scott McLaughlin, Tom Carroll, Joe Weil, we'll be back with more after this.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.